It's Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman. Unfortunately, the unprecedented catastrophes of 9/11 and Hurricane Katrina have forced the United States to learn many lessons about the health and environmental consequences of disasters. But the lessons can be harsh and difficult. It can take years to investigate the effects on people and the places they live. In New Orleans, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has given the city a clean bill of health and residents the green light to return to their homes. But some say environmental health hazards still plague New Orleans. Gina Solomon is a senior scientist with the Natural Resources Defense Council. She joins me from New Orleans, where she's collecting air and water samples. Dr. Solomon, welcome to Living on Earth.
I'm happy to be here.
We were just talking about the after effects of 9/11 in New York City. What happened in New Orleans and Katrina is very different, but are there any lessons to be learned? Are there any similarities?
You know, 5 years after 9/11 and 1 year after Hurricane Katrina, it is really interesting to look at the parallels of these two major human health and environmental disasters. And people in both places are concerned about their environmental safety, about chemical contaminants and pollutants, and also about the health symptoms that many people are having, certainly in New York among the 9/11 workers, but also down here in New Orleans.
I know that in New York City there's something, I think it's called World Trade Center cough, and you have something called the Katrina cough. Any similarities?
You know, I think there are some similarities and some differences. A lot of the air pollutants were quite different. In New York, we were talking about very alkaline particulate matter that was severely irritating to the lungs, along with all of the combustion products from everything that was burning. Here in New Orleans, it was mostly organic matter. So it was sediment blowing around in the air, and also mold spores and endotoxin from bacteria. All of those kinds of things can irritate the lungs terribly, but it's a bit different both in terms of what it does to your lungs and also the kinds of long-term health problems we might think about.
Well, I know that the NRDC has been doing studies and sampling the environment down in New Orleans, and so has the EPA. Do your findings jive?
EPA has not done all the same sampling we've done. In fact, we've sampled for mold in New Orleans and for endotoxin, and EPA has not sampled for either of these. So our results are the only published results so far on mold concentrations in New Orleans in the air. EPA has been testing the sediment, and so have we. And our results, the numbers, actually agree very well, but our interpretations are rather different.
How so?
We have been comparing the numbers with EPA's own cleanup standards that they normally use for waste sites or any other facilities where the soil might be contaminated. And we've discovered that the arsenic levels, lead levels, diesel fuel levels, and levels of other sooty contaminants are all over numbers that would normally trigger cleanup or at least further investigation. EPA has dismissed those results, saying that the contamination likely was present before the hurricane. Well, first of all, I'm not convinced that it's okay to just dismiss results even if the contamination preexisted the hurricane. And secondly, they don't even have any evidence to say that the levels were high before the hurricane, especially for the arsenic levels, which are quite high in the city.
Dr. Solomon, I understand that the EPA has given its approval to start bulldozing in the area that was struck by Katrina. Am I right about that?
The EPA has announced that it's not going to enforce its normal regulations on asbestos that may be generated from bulldozing places in New Orleans. That means that it's possible that the asbestos levels in the air here could be quite high, especially for people right near where homes are being bulldozed. We're down here to see if there's a problem with asbestos in the air and to do some independent sampling.
What do you find in terms of the people that were victims of the hurricane? Do they have faith in the EPA that their health and well-being is being looked after?
The talk of the day right down in New Orleans right now is about the 9/11 situation. I'm hearing person after person saying, you know, we now know that the EPA wasn't to be trusted in New York after 9/11, so why should we trust the EPA And what they're telling us now, after Katrina, it seems ironic to people that EPA is announcing that the sediment is safe and that there are no toxic contaminants left behind from the flooding, right at the same time that there's information revealed that they gave a false all clear in New York. So there's a lot of skepticism, a lot of mistrust, and EPA, you know, frankly, has a long way to go to earn back people's trust down here in New Orleans.
Dr. Solomon, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Gina Solomon is a senior scientist with the Natural Resources Defense Council, and she joined us from New Orleans. We contacted the EPA for a response to Dr. Solomon's claims that the agency is not properly monitoring and testing for pollutants. Dale Camry, a spokesperson for the EPA, says, in fact, they are testing for asbestos, mold, and other pollutants, but he acknowledges that the agency will not be enforcing normal asbestos regulations in upcoming demolition projects in New Orleans.
EPA has not waived environmental or occupational rules for asbestos materials. What the agency did was to use its discretion for reasons of safety and flexibility. You see, certain residential buildings in Louisiana and Mississippi are unsound or uninhabitable for environmental reasons. So the agency is allowing those buildings to be torn down without inspection or removal of asbestos materials.
EPA spokesperson Dale Camry.